Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of January 16th, 2022. That's the week of Martin Luther King's birthday and holiday. Well, I thought I'd take a moment in honor of the Martin Luther King holiday to give you some of my own personal opinions and thoughts about where we are and where we got to go. So, here you go. It seems to me that these are very perilous times for democracy. The big lie, the venomous, hateful stuff that Donald Trump has been spewing out for years has now taken hold, right? It is now the position of the conservative wing of American politics that democracy is faulty and that the vote is corrupt and to be questioned. I mean, these are all terrible ideas that have been spewed out and are now accepted as an article of faith by a big portion of our population. And that, more than the population, the ruling elites in one of the two parties seems to have signed up for what amounts to an authoritarian and racist kind of approach to governance here in the United States. It's not good. This is not hyperbolic to say that democracy is at risk. And I'll explain why, but it is real and it is happening, and we do not have the luxury of apathy. We cannot hang around and say that someone else is going to take care of it. The effort to change democracy, or to basically end democracy, is most apparent in the efforts at the state legislature level to deny voting rights to certain populations. I'm sure you've heard about all this. This is not news. I'm just reinforcing the idea that many states across the country are doing two things. One is that they are denying or changing the rules so that certain populations, primarily populations of color, can no longer vote as easily as they could. Okay, so there's rules. You've heard the famous thing about, you know, denying giving water to people online to vote in the 5 hours it takes them to vote. I mean, it makes your head explode because the first question should be, why does it take 5 hours to vote, right? Forget about delivering water. But, I mean, there you go. They're making it harder for certain populations, in particular communities of color, to vote. And that is a moral outrage. The second thing they're doing, in case you haven't been fully aware, is that they are trying to change the procedures by which the votes are certified. That is to say, they can replace the county-level election supervisor with someone more favorable to their political beliefs. I mean, it's astounding when you think of it, but that's the kind of thing they're trying to do, and that's happening at the state level, right? So this is all profoundly un-American, something that should not be allowed to happen, and that, as I say, we don't have the luxury to look and say, it's someone else's problem. It is all of our problem, and it is happening now. I mean, what's the worst case scenario? Well, many of us watched our TVs in horror on January 6th of 2021. But in the coming election of November of 2022, it could easily happen if some of these voting rules remain in place that the GOP will recover, take over the House. I would say the House would fall to the GOP. Right, what does that mean? Well, first of all, it would mean that the January 6th investigation committee that you may be familiar with, that gets buried, right? That ends as soon as Kevin McCarthy takes control of the House. So we will not be able to identify the bad actors of January 6th, 2021. But at the same time, the Congress that gets elected in November of 2022 will be the same Congress that certifies the presidential election of 2024. That is to say, on January 6th, 2025, Kevin McCarthy will be in charge of that process, assuming we don't do the right thing in the meantime, right now. And if you didn't like the way January 26, 2021 proceeded, just imagine if Kevin McCarthy had been in charge, and imagine that scenario playing out in 2025. This is serious business. As we celebrate Martin Luther King Day this week, we see him as an inspiration. Right? Here's a man who fought for voting rights in the 1960s and was in large part responsible for the original Voting Rights Act that Lyndon Johnson so famously signed in 1965. Right? So the original Voting Rights Act is connected to Martin Luther King's legacy. And that's a good thing. Of course, keep in mind that that 1965 Voting Rights Act was essentially gutted by the Republican Supreme Court in 2013. And what they did was to say that these states in the South no longer had to check with the Justice Department before they changed their rules about voting. And so now, all those southern states are reverting to Jim Crow era efforts to suppress minority votes. It's a bad thing. So just based on the moral outrage of letting that happen and letting fellow citizens be denied the vote, which is a reason in and of itself to take action here, we have to recognize that voting is also a climate issue. It's connected. How is it connected? There's a couple of ways it's connected. First of all, denying the vote to minority populations is an environmental justice issue, because denying the vote to those people suppresses their voice on environmental justice issues. Right? Communities of color are most often on the front line of the efforts to deal with the fossil fuel infrastructure, and that the fossil fuel industry knows it's most convenient and expedient to put this terrible infrastructure into communities that are powerless. Right? And if you don't have a vote, you're powerless. So number one, voter suppression is an environmental justice issue just based on that alone. Secondly, voting the integrity of the voting process as it pertains to having a functioning democracy is also a climate issue. I'd submit that there is no climate action in an authoritarian state. Right? If elections are managed and rigged so that the conservative wing of our politics is in charge all the time, there will be no climate action. And for climate hawks, that's a bad deal. And it all comes back to voting rights and the integrity of the process. We all know that Donald Trump tried to jimmy the Electoral College certification process in 2020, 2021, right? The states are... So now some of these state legislatures are taking it to themselves to give themselves the authority to replace the elected electors with a slate of these Electoral College people. It's more to their liking. Right? And if you've seen any of the news lately about the seven sets of fraudulent Electoral College people that were sent in 2020, sent to the National Archives, I mean, that's just a trial run. These guys will change in addition to suppressing votes, will try to change the process by which the Electoral College people, which now determines the presidency, the way they are in turn chosen. And that's a terrifying prospect because, you know, if you don't have that integrity of democracy, you're not going to get climate action. We can clearly think to all of these connections. They all come to a head in Georgia last January, where two new senators, Ossoff and Warnock, were elected. mostly due to the strenuous efforts of communities of color and the organization of Stacey Abrams, right? I mean, all that wonderful story. That's what gives the Democrats control, nominal control of the Senate. And if you lose that, you know how much climate action there will be. So what can be done? Again, you probably know, but there are two bills in front of the Senate right now. There's the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, which would basically reestablish the 1965 era Voting Rights Act. I think that the John Lewis Act would extend that to the entire country. And that's a way to avoid the Supreme Court's complaint, right? To have everyone subject to the same rules. Fine, fine. That's a good thing. The other bill that's in front of the Senate is the Freedom to Vote Act. And this is where the federal government would remedy these procedural changes that the states are trying to make into how the Electoral College people are selected, right? And for example, the Freedom to Vote Act, I believe, makes federal elections a national holiday, which is about time, right? But those two bills are in the Senate, and as we all know, the filibuster stands in the way of getting them passed. You've all seen pictures of Joe Manchin on TV, right? But the bottom line is the filibuster is a racist, archaic, and anachronistic rule, right? Basically allows the senators from the GOP senators who represent, keep in mind, represent 41 million fewer voters than the 50 senators that represent the Democratic side, right? So it's a minority thing. They are able to stymie these voting rules. So it's critical that the filibuster get moved out of the way. We have to make that. There's several options. You've all seen Joe Manchin and Senator Sinema dance around this issue. I would submit that people like Mitt Romney or Lisa Murkowski or Susan Collins up in Maine could also participate in this because they recognize the threat to democracy. We can't leave Joe Manchin as the linchpin of saving the world. But there you go. So the case is that for climate activists, we don't have the luxury of apathy. We can't watch this go ahead and assume that things will be okay. Right? We need to take action now. We need to protect the integrity of the democracy in order to get climate action. The way we get climate action is to protect the vote. Right? And that means we need to get rid of the filibuster. Specifically, what can you do as a citizen and climate hawk? I would suggest that you call your senators, right? You can, if you don't know who your senator is, just Google contact my senator and it'll probably pop up. Even if you think your senator agrees with you, you should call and tell them how important it is and that thank them for supporting and demand they do more. Right? And you can be pretty specific in the demands of what you would ask your senator to do. For example, you can say that you can ask them to strip Joe Manchin of his committee chairmanship in order to enforce some discipline. Right? You can ask them to publicly say that Joe Manchin's efforts are anti-democratic. Right? You can ask the senator to ask the president to fly to West Virginia and make the case to the people of West Virginia. None of that sort of heavy-handed bully pulpit stuff has happened yet, and we need it. We need it soon. Right? I think the most important thing that you can demand of your senator is to say that failure is not an option. If Joe Manchin somehow blocks the change in the filibuster rule, or somehow impedes passage of Voting Rights Act, then we must find another way. It's not acceptable for the President of the United States to come out and say, oh, I'm so sorry, I don't think we can pass voting rights because mean Joe Manchin won't change the filibuster. I mean, your response should be, find another way. Find a way to pass this bill. It's important enough that we have to do it. So there. My personal request, for the sake of your fellow citizens' voting rights and equality of the American ideal, for the sake of your own, the value of your own vote, right? So that you're not competing with rigged elections in other states, right? And for the sake of the climate movement, it's important that we act on voting rights in the near term. It's coming up this week. Call your senators, ask them to support voting rights. Anyway, there you go. That's the story. That's my humble opinion for this week. I'll put up links on the blog at massclimateaction.org/blog. If you have questions about this, send us an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. You're probably listening to us on your smartphone using Stitcher, et cetera, et cetera. Please ask all of your friends to listen to us on their favorite modern podcast distribution app. I want to thank our good friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support. And we'll close the way we always close, by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. And because of that, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon that recognizes environmental justice, in order to safeguard our collective future. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.